Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 28th of May, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Friday, everyone.
Indeed, an extra happy Friday, because it's the Friday before a holiday weekend for people in the U.S. who celebrate that sort of thing. We've Memorial Day this weekend, and I hope everybody enjoys. And as a housekeeping note, there will be no show on Monday because we will all be not at work on Monday. So you'll just have to come back on Tuesday and wait to see what we talk about then. So Andrew's here for Secure Your Stuff Friday.
Indeed.
which I enjoy. Security Friday is a good name, but it was someone on Twitter suggested the alternate name of Secure Your Stuff, but they didn't say stuff, and I don't want to edit the show. So Secure Your Stuff Friday, here we are. Andrew, go ahead and kick us off with the first thing we have to talk about. We have a couple of PSAs for you, and I'll let you get into that.
Yeah, so we've got some good news from 1Password. They updated their browser extension, and it now supports biometric unlocking, which includes Touch ID on Macs, Windows Hello if you have a Windows machine.
And we don't judge you for that.
Right. And there are even some kind of biometrics on Linux, apparently, where 1Password can work with this.
That definitely sounds interesting. I very much enjoy the Touch ID piece of this because I use Touch ID all the time. And so being able to just make it part of 1Password in the browser is also going to be exciting. Because this is for it used to be 1Password X or 1Password in the browser. This is when you're using the extension that's not attached to the application. So if you're using the browser extension because you have the 1Password app installed and you're like, I can do that with my finger already, Kelly. You can. This is for people who only have it in the browser and aren't using the version that has the companion app. So that's the key here. And I don't remember if we mentioned this or not, but they've made another feature update where now there's a medical record entry that you can make into 1Password as well, which is also pretty cool. I'm glad about that. So it's just another piece of data you can store very safely and still be able to carry it around with you in a convenient fashion. And that's what we like. When the balance between security and convenience tends to lean a little bit toward convenience, even though there's a lot of security, that's always good news.
So the other updates in this extension, this is version 2.0. The company says it'll just automatically update the next time you launch your browser. So besides biometric unlock, there is dark mode. And dark mode works for 1Password in the browser, as well as some kind of on-page suggestions you might see, like maybe, do you want us to create a new password for you, that kind of thing. Then it sounds like creating, saving, and updating logins is also easier with this update. It says when the save window appears, you can instantly see everything that will be added to the new item.
Oh, that's good news. Yeah, because that sometimes is rough. So I'm glad that it's now that they're adding even more features to that. So that's good news. Yeah. And 1Password is subscription software. We've talked about it a lot here, but it is subscription software. So just keep that in mind if you're not signed up for anything yet. So And then next up, we have another PSA. This is real quick. There's been macOS updates and iOS updates this week. So I'm going to get the numbers wrong, Andrew. So I'm going to let you tell people what the actual update is. But they happened and you should get them. And Andrew's going to tell us why.
So it was iOS 14.6, the same for iPad. And then for macOS, it's 11.4, Big Sur.
Okay.
So,
and we had security there were security updates as parts of those, right?
Yeah, I haven't checked out the ones for 14.6 yet. The page for 11.4, there were a ton of stuff fixed. This It takes a long time to scroll this page, so you should probably update as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those tend to be, when it's a long list, that just sort of tells you how important it is to update, particularly. Mm-hmm. There is a tvOS, which I believe came out recently as well, and usually, if you are a watch user, there's a watchOS update that usually goes along with a macOS update, so you can check for that as well.
Yeah.
So, heads up on those. And then, next up, we have another... I'm going to forget what it was. We have an interesting thing about pipelines, which doesn't seem like likely security news, but also sort of totally does.
Yeah. Let's see. I forget if we actually talked about this on Security Fighter or not, but a couple weeks ago, couple weeks ago, there was a pipeline called Colonial Pipeline. It was hacked with ransomware. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been from Russia, I want to say. It sounds like they paid the ransom. Mm-hmm. And then today, or when did I write this? Yesterday. So recently, the Transportation Security Administration, we all know it as the TSA. They announced a new security directive for pipeline companies. So these are things that these critical pipeline owners and operators have to do when it comes to cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. Let's see. It says it will require these critical pipeline owners and operators to report confirmed and potential cybersecurity incidents to CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency.
Okay.
And they also have to designate a cybersecurity coordinator, and they have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then finally, these pipeline owners have to review their current practices as well as to identify any gaps and related remediation measures to address cyber-related risks and report these results to the TSA and CISA within 30 days.
Yeah, and so, I think I read a bit more about this, and basically part of what they want to do is a little bit of what the TSA was supposed to do, which is sort of consolidate information from a bunch of different places to help counteract different sorts of threats. So this is something that is just sort of happening for internet security, the way they were trying to evolve it for airport security and that sort of thing many years ago. So I'm interested to see how this is going to evolve and what other news we get out of it, just because it's a new thing. And I always worry a little bit when the government wants to start wading into technology. So I'm going to be hopeful about it and see where we end up. Now we have the story that's going to keep Kelly up very late at night. So Andrew, I'm going to need you to talk me down off the ledge about these M1 processors.
Boy. So there was a flaw found in the M1 chip. I forget what this guy's name is. Hector Martin. Sorry, okay. Hector. So he had this wrote up about this flaw he calls miracles. He reported it to Apple already. Now, it sounds a little bit scary. He says this flaw is like baked into the chip, which means Apple can't patch it easily. But it allows any two apps to secretly exchange data. But he says we really don't have to worry about it. I think it was it's something to do with hypervisor, which is involved with virtual machines.
Yeah.
It's very technical, but I think he said these apps, in order to make use of this, they would like already have to be doing something else, I think, like already have to be built for something like this.
Okay.
And then he says, of course, malware, if it's already on your machine, it doesn't really matter, I guess, if it takes advantage of this, because, of course, there are so many different ways that malware can negatively affect your machine.
Yeah, and sort of his assessment of this was kind of why it didn't make me feel any better, because it was a lot of You know, you don't really have to worry about this flaw because there's all the rest of the flaws in the world, which are the ones that you have to worry about. So, yeah. This is my last episode. I'm going to resign from TDO and go churn butter just to make sure I don't get hacked. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, it did. The way he presented it sounded sort of alarming, but it sounds like in practical terms, this specific thing isn't what you have to watch out for. It's more malware that you have on your machine. And if you get malware, so this is where we start getting into, you know, malware and making sure that you're running some sort of scanner, because those things do exist for macOS, and you should definitely be checking for those every so often to make sure something isn't showing up on your computer that shouldn't be there. And we will get into some tools for protection on that in a future episode. We're not doing it today. But we will definitely talk about being able to protect against stuff like that in the future. And one of the things you have to protect against when you do that is flaws in WebKit, right?
All right, here we go. There is another flaw that has to do with Apple devices. This one is in Safari. Okay. This website said Safari 14.1. I believe that's the latest version. So it can cause Safari to crash, but it could also lead to further malicious attacks. So this one is, you know, another long technical one. But the quote that I shared was, the vulnerability stems from what security researchers call a type confusion bug in the WebKit implementation of Audio Worklet. And Audio Worklet is an interface that lets developers control, manipulate, and output audio and decrease latency. And it says, exploiting this flaw gives the attacker the basic building blocks to remotely execute malicious code on affected devices. Now, that is the scary one. There are many different types of malware and what they can do. The ones that, like, some of them require, you know, maybe you have to download something. Like, if you get a phishing email, for example, it redirects you to a phishing website, tries to steal your login credentials. But then there are other ones where once that code is somehow on your machine, the hacker, you don't have to activate it. Like, you don't have to actually do anything. The hacker can execute the code for you remotely. So that's kind of scary.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I think was pointed out in this article is that it's still available. Like iOS hasn't been patched, I think. I'm not sure on macOS. And the reason I point that out is because the version of Safari I have on my computer right now is 14.1.1. And I don't know if the 0.1 may have resolved this, or if it's just everything that's 14.1 has this problem. So
I'm not sure either.
I'm a little worried now.
Yeah, because the last sentence does say they created an exploit to try this out, just to, you know, see if it works, part of testing.
Yeah.
And they said, our exploit is working as of iOS 14.6 and macOS 11.4, the most recent updates. So
wonderful. So sleep tight, everybody. Yeah, so that definitely one to worry about. Now, of course, the obvious mitigation for this is don't use Safari. And a lot of people sort of decided that, you know, came to that decision on their own. We don't judge you. But at least in the short term, it might be good to not or minimize it. Maybe it's a good time to check out alternate browsers on iOS. Who's to say? So we have another story about data and hacking and the FBI.
Yes, I love how you put that. It sounds scary. The website Have I Been Pwned is partnering with the FBI, but in a good way. Don't worry. So this is good news.
Yeah. the headline is like, oh no. So give us the breakdown.
Yeah, so we've talked about this website before, Have I Been Pwned. It lets you type in your email address or phone number, and then it checks for you if any of these have been found in a data breach. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, some of our data probably is already out there in breaches because there are so many of them.
Yeah.
So this update is about... what's his name? Troy Hunt. He made Have I Been Pwned open source. And the partnering with the FBI part is the agency will send to the website any compromised passwords they discover during investigations.
Okay.
I shared the quote from Brian A. Vorndran, mm-hmm. who is the FBI's assistant director in the cyber division. And so he just says, we're excited to be doing this to protect victims of online credential theft. It's just another example of how important public and private partnerships are in the fight against cybercrime.
So in real life, basically what's happening here is that Have I Been Pwned is just adding a new data source for data breaches, for data leaks and things like that. As the FBI comes across these things, the FBI is just going to report it to Have I Been Pwned. And then you can find out about those things from there, which is very good news. Anytime. And like, basically, I feel like Have I Been Pwned is sort of a public service at this point anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're very apolitical, like, just if, you know, here's who might have your data that shouldn't, and you should know about it, and here's your opportunity to find out. And so they're just adding a new source of that data, which is great. So
yeah,
I'm glad about that one. It did sound a little scary at first, but in reality, it's not so bad. Let's talk about one that is so bad. And it will surprise everyone. I know. Brace yourselves. It's Facebook.
Dear. Okay. I guess so. Let's see what Facebook has done now.
I mean, we have to. Yeah. The original title of Security Friday was What the Facebook? And I think we're going to have to bring it back for this segment. So tell us what the Facebook this week, Andrew.
So this article was from Forbes. I created this as, you know, in our link teaser category, because that's kind of counts as an opinion piece. So background information. But Forbes wrote this article about how Facebook is able to get our location data from our photos. The way the article was written makes it sound like this was in response. At least it sounded like to me that this is like maybe Facebook is trying to do this to try to get around app tracking transparency.
Okay.
That's not the case.
Okay.
So, yes, Facebook and a whole lot of other companies can sometimes get your location data from photos. But they've always had this ability, or at least they have for years. It's not in response to 14.5. And it's just because when you take a picture, the photo contains metadata. And this metadata can be, yes, your location. It can be like what aperture you shot it in.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of information that shows up by default. And that powers a bunch of other stuff. Like if you've uploaded to like a service like Flickr, you can search by everyone who used that lens. You can search by everyone who used that phone. You can, when you look at the Photos app and it says people and places, like all those places are just being read out of the metadata from the pictures that you took. So that's where all that stuff comes from.
And this leads into our practical tip, how you can view that metadata yourself and possibly delete it.
Yes.
So the app I've been using for years is Metafo.
Okay.
And so I have my phone open right now and using Metafo, some of this metadata on one of my photos is the date and time I shot it, the maker, the model of the camera, iPhone 12 Pro, ISO, aperture, shutter speed, focal length, lens maker, lens, and what type of software you use to edit the photo.
Okay.
So it's good and bad. Like, it's just neutral information. It's good for photographers. Like you said, maybe on Flickr, you search your own photos or other people's photos by some kind of specific thing, like the lens. But once you upload that photo online, that kind of data can potentially be accessed by companies like Facebook.
Yeah.
You can use Metafo to edit the metadata and also remove it. I've also created a shortcut, of course. with shortcuts, it sounds like you can't really do any fine tuning.
Okay.
So mine is just, you know, you tap on a shortcut, select a photo you want, and then it it saves a new version of that photo, and you can delete the other one or not. And that new version has everything, all the metadata is stripped away.
Just obliterated. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good to know. I'm interested. And is Metafo a free app or a paid app? That's my next question. I'm going to look really quick and see. It's free, yeah, but offers in-app purchase.
Okay.
So
I think maybe it was paid at one point, but it sounds like maybe they switched it up.
A lot of them are. It's not subscription. It's a one-shot thing. For $5, you can unlock everything. So that's probably how they evolved that. It's not a subscription. It's just a one shot, mm-hmm, $5 and you're done. So, and it does a fair amount for metadata. So that's always a good idea. So if you have questions for us, if you want to talk to us more about Security Friday, if you have things you want us to cover, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And as always, have a great weekend, everyone.
Indeed, especially because it's extended. So I'm going to offer extended weekend wishes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you on Tuesday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.